here. Obvious, we got a problem here. And it's more than just Alvin streaming Punisher. When life begins to suck, who's reporting it? Luckily, got two friends who you won't forget. Coming live, Alvin and friend on survival. Laughing nonstop, case drops on a cycle. Louder than intrusive thoughts off an iPhone. How they make the world seem bright with the lights off? AFs, it might as well stay up. Lies being told like that dinosaur BS. Magnifying glass to the ground if they don't see us. Having the time, roasting your favorite pizza. Bougie ain't an option, it's the way. Take it to the grave, add moving to the place. You already know when they take the case. Laugh the pain away, it's affirmative.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder, the Equal Opportunity True Crime Comedy Podcast. I'm Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans. Wrong board, wrong board.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman, can't you tell, man? Gonna post it.
I salvaged it, Fran, hello.
You really did. Don't try to throw some horns in there.
I was building it up. I did it on purpose to add some suspense to it this time.
How you fuck up my intro? That's come on.
My apologies, man. How you doing, man?
I'm not doing well today, man. I think the time shift is throwing off my energy.
Yeah, I texted you at like 1 o'clock. You were like, I just woke up, man.
Yeah, man, I
was like, it's only an hour. It still threw me off. I was like, I'm at like breakfast right now. It's like 11 o'clock. You're like, yo, I just woke up just now. My
just
bad.
Bro, I'm just like, I think.
It's quarter to one.
Yeah, because I usually don't, on my off days, I usually wake up. That's when I wake up the earliest.
Right.
Like, I don't know, on my off days. And then like we put some blankets up on the windows, and it was like, it's just dark. It's just dark.
Keep the light out?
Keep the light out. And we all woke up at the same time. So we all slept until like 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Were y'all clubbing last night?
We did get home at like 1:30. Yeah, we was up watching. We got home and we was up watching the floor. We watched that until like 1:30. All of us watched.
What did I say? What did I say?
We watched that to like 1:30.
Is it not amazing?
Yeah, we can save that for later because I do want to get into it.
Yeah, we can get deep later. We'll save that for after.
So we was doing that. So we all didn't go to sleep till like 1:30. And that's late. That's super late for the kids. So yeah, man, we all just kind of just slept in and then woke up and then I just been feeling off. It's the time, bro. It's just like,
no, I get you. Losing an hour never feels good. Yeah. I like gaining an hour. I never like losing an hour. Losing an hour make you a little curmudgeon-y.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Well, I have something that might cheer you up a little bit, might be a little fun thing, you know, get our creative juices flowing. A couple of years ago, we haven't done this in some time, but it was one of the more fun times that we had on this podcast, for me personally anyway. The Oscars are tonight. Now, people are listening to this. This is days after the Oscar, but if you listen to it on Patreon, it's only a day after the Oscar, so it's still pretty fresh. While we're recording this, the Oscars are tonight. So I thought it would be fun to read you some of the nominees for Best Picture, which I'm pretty confident you've seen none of these movies. And then let your brain just kind of give a synopsis of what you think this movie is based on the title.
Oh, great.
Would you be willing to play that game with me one more time?
No, but sure, why not?
For those of you who are new here, this was a few years ago. The year Jojo Rabbit came out, Parasite, 1917, some of the most amazing synopses for movies I've ever heard in my life came from this man. He'd never seen Jojo Rabbit and gave a full, I think he said it was like a cartoon. Jojo's the cartoon, but everybody else is real, and it's kind of like 8 Mile. To the best of my recollection. But either way, it was amazing storytelling. So, Fran, are you ready to kick this off?
Sure, man.
I'm only gonna do like the big ones.
Okay.
The ones that are really, you know, really getting a lot of buzz. So up first, an easy one. I don't think you've seen it, but I think you could probably guess, or I'd love to hear what you think it's about. Barbie.
Okay. I would assume it's like the lady who is in Joe Dirt plays Barbie. Am I wrong? Is that not the same person?
No, listen. Margot Robbie does look like 8 people, including one.
That's not her? Really? Wow.
But friend, listen. I see why you would think that. I get it. the lady from Joe Dirt and Margot Robbie are not one and the same, but there are several Hollywood actresses that favor Margot Robbie. They all have a similar vibe.
I was her.
So already off to a great start. You got
to
finish.
I said double confidence. You sure that's not her? Who was the girl playing Joe Dirt?
I don't know her name off the top of my head, but
that's a classic. I love that movie.
She was the girl who was in White Chicks. She was one of the white chicks in White Chicks who was in the dancing battle.
I don't
know. Not Margot Robbie is the point, but you got to. The lady from Joe Dirt. I'm sorry I even interrupted you. So the lady from Joe Dirt is
I thought that was her.
Okay, she's playing Barbie, and then what?
So the lady from Joe Dirt plays as Barbie, and from what I think how this movie goes is like, it's kind of like, it reminds me of Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Type thing where it's like, she's living this Barbie life, which is everything is all fictional, and then like, she got to kiss, what is his name? The male Barbie.
Which would be called
Ken.
There you go.
Ken. She kissed Ken, and then everything turns real. Realistic, and they're no longer Barbies anymore. They're actually human beings.
Okay.
That's what I think the movie goes.
And it ends happily or sad?
It's happily. Live a happy, you know.
Happy ever after.
Happy ever after, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So Barbie, starring...
That's not the lady. I'm baffled.
Okay. All right. So up next, we got Killers of the Flower Moon.
Okay. Who's the lead actress?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Ooh, okay, it's my guy. What the title reminds me of, bee movie. This is movie is around bees and it's a kid. This is a kid's movie, right? So it starts off happy, you know. It shows the working life, just like the bees, working life of bees. Except this one doesn't have Jerry Seinfeld in it. I know he's I know he's the voice in that movie.
And B movie.
And B movie. Yeah. And what was it? Killer of the Flower Moon?
Killers of the Flower Moon, yes.
Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah, so this is the life of some bees, right? And it's the life of some bees. And there's a teaching moment in this where he has a son. Is this how the B movie go? Am I just...
Are you just giving the premise
am
of
I
B
just
movie?
Giving the,
I don't remember
yeah,
what
I
think B movie is a rom-com.
Right,
I think Jerry Seinfeld falls in love with a human.
Okay.
As a B.
Okay, I'm on the right track then. Here we go. So it's a B movie, and there's a lesson in this movie where he teaches his son about the working class and how things are not given to you in life, that you got to work hard for it. But this bee wants to go on a venture, right? So he doesn't want to do the work in life. He wants to see what's beyond, you know, flowers and, you know, just his natural habitat.
Of course.
So he chooses to build some type of bee technology. Very smart bee.
Right? Sure. A beanius.
A beanius. And he wants to take a trip to outer space.
Oh.
To see what life is beyond where he's from. Right?
Yeah.
Man, you want to go on this thing? Because I can take this.
I'm strapped in.
I can take this.
I'm strapped in.
Okay. Okay, we in for the
so
ride.
This is like a, this is like an epic, like a 3-hour movie.
This is like
Lord of the Rings.
Like, this is like, no, this is like.
I'm just saying lengthwise, it seems like we're getting big.
Lengthwise, yeah, this is like Avatar.
Multiple films. It's like a whole, okay, got it. This is part
billion
one.
Dollar movie.
So this is Killers of the Flower Moon, part one.
Killers of the Flower Moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where I left off, he wants to take a trip to the moon.
Yeah,
okay, he wants to take
space.
A trip to the moon,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. Space. So he went to space. And he finally gets the technology to get there. So he's there in space, right?
Yeah.
So now he meets a friend. Who's a bee, but a bee in outer space. So it's a different type of creature, but they're from the same family. Like, you
got
know, cats
it.
And tigers
right.
and lions and
similar,
shit.
But different.
Right. The genetics is all the same.
Got it.
But the outer features is a bit different. What happens is his technology fails, so he can't really stay up. He can't really stay up in outer space too long.
Uh-huh.
So his friend goes, okay, cool, I'll come back down with you. So he comes back down. So you got bee and you got
outer space bee.
Come down, brings this creature with him, right?
Uh-huh. But the cousin, or they got another creature?
The cousin. Got it. The cousin with him. But this was all a, this was all his plan from the cousin, right?
Uh-huh.
So he brings the cousin back down. So the cousin has his chip where he can, where he keep all his other buddies in his pocket, right?
Right.
So if he hit this chip, they come out all his buddies.
Oh,
so he does that, right?
Uh-huh.
Takes over the whole bee empire that's here on Earth, right?
Right.
Kills all the killer bees. This dude, the killer bees can't touch the astronaut. It's a slaughter. Out of space bee.
So he befriended him as a trick and then came and betrayed him, and he's a space invader bee.
Space invader bee. But they can come, but all these bees, all his buddies can come together to one, like a big old, I don't know, like a transformer type.
Got it.
So now he's huge, but now he got a bigger plan than taking over the bees. He's trying to take over the whole world. So now he's grown to this 100-foot tall bee that's now taking over the world and start killing people, slaughtering people, you know, shooting stings, all kinds of people. It just murders everybody and takes over the world. That's how that goes.
And that's the end of part one, because this is at least what, two movies?
Oh yeah, at least four movies.
Wow, yeah. A quadrilogy.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Killers of the Flower Moon. I love that. I would go see that for sure. It's almost, it's giving Dune. It's giving Dune. Yeah. I love it. Okay. Up. We got two more, and we're gonna move on.
What we got next?
We got Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. This sounds like a movie of. You know what? Let's skip that because I might see some.
Okay. You don't want to get canceled.
Yeah.
Hey man, we're gonna leave it. I don't even want to explore why you're nervous. Okay, we'll move on.
I was about to say something awful. Yeah, we skip that.
Hey man, that's cool. Don't even have to go any further.
You know what? That's behind the scenes. Join the Patreon if you want to hear.
We're gonna put that behind a paywall because Fran's made me nervous. I don't even want to know why you are hesitant. What Oppenheimer did to you to make you go there
behind the paywall? Okay. If you want to hear that.
We're gonna go. Lastly,
let's go to
the last one. Yeah. Poor Things.
Poor Things. So this is about a guy who has beautiful family. You know, life is perfect. You know,
yeah.
Got the big family, big house, white picket fence.
Yeah, and, American dream. Is it America? I'm sorry, I don't want to presume. Sorry.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And everything's going fine, and the wife gets cancer. Right. Wife gets brain cancer. And, you know, now he has all these family, these obstacles that they have to deal with, you know.
Uh-huh.
Medical bills, stuff like that. Wife has cancer. He got to go through all the treatments and stuff.
Sure.
So the wife dies, right?
Wow.
And, you know, they move on. You know, they also have two kids, right? Then they hit the lotto, right? They hit the lotto a couple years after the wife died.
Sure.
Hit the lotto for $500 million.
That's a lot of money, yeah.
A lot of money. They sell the house. They move to, let's say this takes place on the East Coast. They move to the West Coast. They move to California. They buy a big mansion out there. Husband remarries, right?
Mm-hmm.
This wife, new wife, stepmom wife, gets cancer. Right. And she gets brain cancer as well. Now, you know, the family of this wife goes like, this last wife, you know, get brain cancer as well. They go, yeah, but you know, it's just coincidence.
Mm-hmm. They're just whispering to each other. It's odd.
Yeah. This wife dies. His second wife dies.
Uh-huh.
A couple years later, hits the lotto again.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
This time he hits the lotto for $250 million. Then he goes, okay, we move. Then they move to England, right?
Uh-huh.
So they go across the pond.
Yeah,
right?
Over the water.
Oh, and then he remarries.
Uh-huh.
So the kids are getting older. They're like, all right, well, it's third stepmom, second stepmom. Okay, we moving.
But we're up $750 million.
Yeah, so the kids dip. They move on to they do their own thing.
Right. Right?
The third wife gets cancer. Now the kids are like, all right, man, what is happening?
Yeah.
What's going on, right? So let's rewind it, right? This is the part where it's like
flashback.
Backstory comes in. Flashback.
Got it.
So this guy grew up poor as a child, didn't have nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this is like new age type thing, right? So he dabbled in on some, he used to be, back in his day, he used to do some online gaming, right?
Uh-huh.
Got caught up with some other guy who goes, "Hey man, you ever thought about being rich?" And he goes, "Yeah, man, I love school. You know, I grew up with nothing, right?" So he goes, "But you got to sacrifice some wives to hit millions of dollars." And he goes, as a child, he goes, "Well, I'm willing to do that." But he didn't know this. He forgot all about this. He did this years ago.
Right.
This is like this virtual agreement that
he made the deal, but didn't think anything of it.
And then, right. So he got older. He did this when he was a kid.
Right.
But come to find out, that guy that he met was the devil, right?
Mm.
So he came back haunting him.
And stealing and taking his wives.
After his first wife, that didn't have nothing to do with the agreement he made.
That just happened.
That just happened. The devil guy came back with, "Hey man, you remember that agreement we made when you was a child?" He said, "Yeah, but you know, I thought that was just a game." I said, "No, this is real.
And here's the money.
I'm gonna take all this money that you won. This $500 million. He took that. But you want this back, I'm gonna need some sacrifice." So he got married two more times so he can fulfill the deal. Fulfill the deal.
This is very Black Mirror.
That's how I go, yeah.
This is very Black Mirror.
That's why I left off. I haven't finished. There's still some to be continued.
Okay, yeah.
But that one, wow.
That
was a good one, man.
Yeah, that was,
I
man. You might need to be the director. you might need to write the next season of Black Mirror. That was tantalizing. I'm into that.
That was off the dome. No, that was kind of crazy.
That was a cappella. So I could only imagine what you do with some time.
I'm going to have to... I dropped that one down.
Yeah, you freestyled that? That was awesome. Yeah, shit.
What was that? Poor Things?
Poor Things.
Oh, that's a perfect title.
Yeah. We're gonna move on. I don't really wanna the Oppenheimer.
You hit Oppenheimer one? Or what? You want to go into it? Or?
No. We're gonna put that behind the paywall. He made me really nervous. He's like, "You know what, man, never mind. I don't even wanna go there." I was like, "You know what, hey man? Say no more." Hey folks, listen. Fran and I are very excited to announce we got another live show coming up. Before I get into the details, Fran,
yes.
Talk to the people. You know, how you feeling about this? This is big news, man.
This is a dream come true, man. We doing number one. Was like, man, this is awesome.
It was on home turf.
Home turf.
This one, we're shooting across.
We going number two?
We're going deuce? We're going to the other side of the coast.
To Portland, cuz
we will be going to Portland, Oregon on May 4th, 2024. We would love to see you at the Growler Guys. I believe it's a bar at 6:30 p.m. on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. You know, friend, that's like a Star Wars thing. There will be no Star Wars references or motifs or anything like that of the sort. So don't come expecting that, or you can leave. Don't come with a lightsaber. No, you can come with your fanfare. I'm just joking. But it just is a coincidence. We didn't pick May 4th because we're like big Star Wars heads or anything like that. But we are super excited to be going to Portland, Oregon on May 4th, 2024. Tickets are available right now. The tickets are selling really quickly. They're selling even quicker than the first show. So I'm super excited. Super happy. Get your tickets as soon as possible. This is going to be a fun time. We're super excited to go to Portland for the first time. Fran, yes?
Yeah.
Me as well. It's going to be a fun time. Yeah. We're going to be laughing. Telling some wild stories. Madison McGee will be joining us once again. The amazing Madison McGee. We will be joining forces like Voltron and trying to put on a good show for you guys for the second time. Super excited. Again, tickets are on sale now. Get them while they're hot.
It's pulling a diverse city, I would hope.
Yeah, man. Portland's like in my mind anyway. I haven't been there, but it's like Brooklyn and... like steampunk Brooklyn, you know, like I feel like it's a lot of, I don't know why I put a D on the end of Brooklyn, but it's like steampunk Brooklyn, like a lot of edgier Brooklyn, like leather Brooklyn.
You know what the weather like is out there? Is it, you know,
well, it's like, it's the Pacific Northwest. So I would imagine in the springtime, it'll be really nice. Okay. Maybe a little,
I'm excited. Maybe rain, sun,
like kind of thing, like that kind of thing. Rain and then bringing beautiful, sunny, cloudy, partly cloudy, sunny days, something like that.
I'm excited.
We'll find out, won't we? Yeah. May 4th, again, guys, the link's available on our Instagram. The link will be available in the story, in the episode information. You can click on the link on there and purchase a ticket if you would like to. And again, we'd love to see you in Portland. If you're out that way, neary that neck of the woods, we'd love to see you at the show on May 4th, 2024. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into some fucked up shit. So stick around.
Ice Cold Case is the podcast looking into the unsolved murder of J.C. McGee 21 years ago in Belmont County.
Why is she coming out of clear blue and starting to ask questions about this? What's going on here?
It's weird. It's strange.
Yeah, I never thought of him as a suspect.
We have done nothing to cover this up.
Records were all accidentally destroyed in different ways.
A lot of sick stuff was going on.
Point blank, shot him.
There was a saying, you want to kill somebody, do it in Belmont County.
I'm just so glad that you are not scared.
It's really hard to establish any rapport at all with anybody.
Man, y'all know I didn't do this, man. What the?
Ice Cold Case, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. But let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of my MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and, you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP, that's A, M as in Mother's Day, P, at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today. All right, and we are back. Fran, this week, I came across an interesting story that blew my mind. And by came across, I mean, this is another one you sent me. I don't mean to give you credit. You sent me this one. Yeah, where did you find this to send it to send me the information about this?
I found this on the Oxygen website, man. I went on there.
Shout out to Oxygen. Like,
yeah, just went on there. What's going on here?
Yeah, man? what's going on that
popped up, and I was like, all right,
yeah,
let's look into this.
Intriguing, whole, for sure.
Yeah, it's a whole, you know, the article, you know, the article they don't give out too much. It's like, go watch the show.
They're right,
like, we'll give you a little bit of little sample size, and it's like, you want the rest, you need to go watch,
draw
the show.
You in just enough,
subscribe or something,
yeah, to make you want to go watch the show. Yeah,
so I went and found, I went on YouTube, and then I was like, oh, I got on YouTube, but again, it's on the Oxygen profile channel. So it was like 4 minutes. I was like, oh, they trying to get over
the sample again.
And with the rest, yeah, go to the, I said, all right. I was like, but I got YouTube TV, which has the Oxygen channel, which has on-demand Oxygen. I said, oh, nah. I got around it, and I found the whole episode, which is like 45 minutes long. Got everything I need.
Now, I've been meaning to call you out about this, because you told me that you found this on YouTube TV, something I don't have. So I'm here to judge you, why are you paying for that?
Why I'm paying for YouTube TV?
Yeah.
That's how I watch TV.
Oh, they have live TV? Oh,
they have live TV, yes. They have live TV. Why are you coming at me?
Oh, okay. Do you have Hulu too?
I don't have like Comcast. I don't have that.
Do you have Hulu?
I do have Hulu.
See?
I do, but I don't have live TV Hulu.
Huh?
I don't have Hulu.
Oh,
live
you
TV.
Have the package that I without the live TV.
Because I have Disney and I have whatever else it comes with. It comes with my Verizon plan, so I got the package of, and I have ESPN Plus, whatever it is.
Got it.
It all comes with the, So apologize.
Yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought you were hoarding subscriptions.
I'm not like you, man. I don't need Hulu Live TV and YouTube TV. I don't need both of those. And be like, I'm missing out on stuff.
I do have YouTube Premium.
But you have Paramount, you have Apple TV, you have Apple Plus, you have Netflix, which went up.
I have Shudder.
A couple extra dollars.
I have Disney.
You have
Plus.
Shudder. You have Disney.
I have
Plus.
Peacock.
I mean, like you have. Why? Why? You probably have what's the other one? Temu. I mean, not Temu. What's the other
Tubi?
One? Tubi. You probably have Tubi. You definitely have Tubi.
I had it. I downloaded Tubi because I was featured in a documentary on Tubi.
Yeah, you don't need all that.
I hear you, but let me ask you this. How else am I supposed to watch Baddies West?
I don't give
a fuck about your mama. I put that on my show. Anyway, this is the story this week. I'm sorry to get off track. This week, we're telling the story of Daniel Yarbrough. Very, very tragic story, but also wild. A wild, wild story. So let's get into it. Daniel Yarbrough was an Army specialist living in Apple Valley, California, which is like very small town, rural California, and like an Army town. A lot of military people and presence and, you know, active military people living in that part of California. Daniel was living there in 2014. He had been serving with the National Guard in Barstow at Fort Irwin for 3 years and was doing very well for himself at 31 years old. So he'd always wanted to be in the military, and at 28 years old, he enlisted in the National Guard and kind of found his footing. He kind of lived a wayward life for a little bit and was kind of lost. But the National Guard, he found family and friends and roommates and all these things. And so he had been in the National Guard for about 3 years. On September 29, 2014, Daniel got a text from a friend inviting him over to their house for a group Bible study session.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting way to spend a Friday night, but I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel at the time was going through personal things, and then a friend of his was like, you know, hey, man, going through some things, come over.
Come kick it with my friends and my family.
Friends and my family, Bible study, you know, kind of get your spirits up.
Right. But at around 9:30 p.m., Daniel Yarbrough was shot dead in the driveway of the home. Detectives arrived on the scene to find Daniel dead in the driver's seat of his white Volkswagen Jetta. The weapon used in the shooting would eventually be identified as a 20-gauge shotgun. It left a hole in his car through him. It was a gruesome scene.
You know, randomly, I saw this video of this guy. You know, I'm going to talk. There was a guy.
For now, until I think the government's talking about disbanding it from the country or something. But anyway, you're on the
top. As they should. But like, that's another.
It sucks. Another, you look at that thing, and all of a sudden, it's 11 o'clock at night. Like, the sun is out. Your day is just gone. It's terrible.
Bad,
it's going to kill us.
It should be bad.
Yeah. It's a terroristic weapon. Yes.
For sure. There's a guy who was on there that popped up who, like, got shot in the face by a shotgun.
Oh, wow.
And was like.
And was TikToking?
Yeah. And like his shit's off.
Does he do
like
dances and stuff? Or he's just
front,
from,
no, it's like okay. It was the interview. Oh, it was like he said the front of his brains is gone and his head's all crazy looking. But I mean, like, he said that they told him, and the reason why he survived, he said, the reason why you survived is because you got shot at point blank range. He said if they would have shot you from a couple feet back, it would have blew your head off. Like, your shit would have been down.
So it didn't have a chance to do, like, shotgun stuff.
It didn't have a chance to do his full potential of the shotgun blast. It was just point-blank range, and that's how he survived. I said, that's crazy.
So it does, because shotguns buckshot, and they spread buckshot. Out, and that's chaos.
Exactly.
So from up close, it couldn't even buckshot to do. That's crazy. That's, he survived because the shotgun couldn't do what it's supposed to do.
Right.
Damn.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I don't even know how to respond. That's crazy. That's a crazy like reason for them to tell you, like, you're alive because of how. I know you're like, damn, they shot you with a shotgun from right in your face. Yeah. It's like, well, if they would have shot you from further away, you'd be gone. I wouldn't be.
You'd be in pieces.
Damn. Daniel had apparently been standing outside of his car when he was shot from no more than 10 or 15 feet away. Mm-hmm. Daniel attempted to crawl into his vehicle after being shot, but had eventually succumbed to his injuries shortly after. He was identified at the scene by a fellow Fort Irwin soldier named Wesley Swank, who was the sender of the Bible study invite text.
Yep.
Investigators, motivated by the fact that an American soldier had been gunned down in a driveway, got to work immediately. You know, so this is a military town. This is a soldier active, you know, in the National Guard. And so this looks terrible. And so detectives, not that they didn't already have motivation because it's their job, but it was a little extra incentive. Like, we got to solve this, man. We can't have people thinking they can just gun down soldiers in our city. So they got to work immediately, questioning friends that were at the Bible study and canvassing the neighborhood for witnesses. And they spoke to Yarbrough's close circle for possible leads as to who could have committed this crime. Detectives quickly discovered that Daniel Yarbrough's home that he shared with his roommate named Ruben Vegas had been vandalized. Somebody broke in, stole Ruben's laptop, some money, wrecked the place, and they were both pissed off. And Ruben, especially, they had started to come to, when they asked around Ruben and Daniel, their neighbors were alluding to the fact that they knew what was going on. It was like a lot of gang activity, and that the neighbors were kind of saying that they think a gang might have done this. So yeah. Ruben and Daniel ended up filing a police report. But according to Ruben, he told the police, like, hey, man, you better find this guy before we find him. However, not long after the home invasion, Yarbrough was involved in a drive-by shooting where bullets barely missed him while sitting in his car having some beers with Ruben. They were chilling in the car, playing some music, having some beers, and all of a sudden a car rides by and blasts shots into the car. Neither of them were hit.
It was a shotgun again.
Yeah.
Another shotgun. Mm-hmm.
Neither of them were hit, but Ruben said he could feel the impact of the gun, of the bullet hitting the car. Like, it shook the car. Both of these incidences were within weeks of each other. And then it was no more than 12 days later that Daniel was dead. So the breaking and entering, the drive-by shooting attempt, and then the murder of Daniel Yarbrough all happened within a month of each other. They even had friends that, at first, with the breaking and entering, the friends were like, hey, guys, a gang? I don't know about that. But then after the drive-by shooting attempt, that's when their friends started to be like, maybe you guys are onto something. Maybe there is a gang out to get you guys or something. Like,
yeah. Daniel could have swore that, like, somebody's after me. I don't know what the hell is going on, but somebody is trying to take me.
I mean, within 2 weeks, somebody breaks into your house and you get involved in a drive-by shooting and you're in the military where you go, I don't have, like, I don't have enemies. So, of course, I would feel paranoid, very much so. You know, one thing is bad luck. Two things, you can't help but start to question, especially when it's not like he got a flat tire. It's like these are people did this. So people did this to me again. Like, this is just two coincidences. They thought, so they broke into
outside my home.
Yeah, like they broke into my house and then they shot me in my car. Starts to feel kind of personal. So investigators did pursue the angle that Daniel's murder might have been gang related, which is not a crazy theory. I mean, it's California. There was drive-bys, breaking and enterings involved, you know, criminal activity. It's not a crazy theory. But the pursuit gained zero traction. They could find no links to confirm that this was a possibility, that this is what happened. Now, in the midst of this investigation, detectives got an unexpected call from Wesley Swank, the man who invited Daniel to Bible study the night of his murder. Swank informed detectives that a small piece of information had slipped his mind in the chaos of Daniel's murder. And he just wanted to mention it to him since he had failed to do it the first time that he was questioned.
Right.
The piece of information was that Daniel Yarbrough had recently made Wesley the beneficiary of his $250,000 life insurance policy. It just slipped his mind. So I just thought I'd tell you guys, I know you guys are really, you know, scoping around asking questions, and I don't know if it'll come up, but I am the beneficiary. I'm about to get 250 bands. So I don't know if that matters, but I thought I'd bring it up to you guys.
If you're going to bring it up,
get ahead of it
first
then.
First question. Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Don't call tomorrow and be like, hey, I forgot about letting you know this. He put me in. Oh, but like, and the thing about it is Daniel went around asking friends like, hey, man, would you?
Yeah. What do you guys know about life insurance policies?
Yeah. Or he asked a guy that he used to work with in the shop, like, would you want to be the beneficiary of my life insurance? The guy was like, nah, man, you should, as you should do it, that's a good guy. I was like, nah, man, I don't want to make it a family member, whatever. I don't want to sign up for that. So,
yeah, that's,
but I would assume that for something like this, that he went and asked Swank. I'm sure. What I thought was that he asked Swank before, and Swank probably was like, no,
sure.
And then, you know, we'll get into the rest of it at in this type
he
of story.
He probably had mentioned it to Swank.
At some point he did mention
it. Because he had mentioned it to other friends. And Wesley Swank and Daniel were close friends.
Right, they were like brothers, yeah.
Yes. So obviously when you mention anything about life insurance policy when somebody's been murdered, red flags went up immediately with the detectives. Swank agreed to a polygraph test, and the results came back inconclusive. The polygrapher said that he didn't sense really any deception other than a couple of questions. He didn't really sense any deception that would make him think that Daniel was Wesley was lying.
Yeah.
Basically, so what he said was he felt more inclined to believe that Swank was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. So that made the red flags, you know, start to drop down. The red flags dropped even more as detectives started to go around and speak to others, more of Daniel's friends in the circle. Now armed with this information about the life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. And like Fran mentioned, one of his friends specifically mentioned that that Daniel had spoken to him about a life insurance policy, and he told him, no, man, you should make that a family member. Like, that's the smart thing to do. 2 months went by with no progression in the case. Daniel's murder was on the verge of going cold, but another unexpected twist occurred when Daniel's aunt was received in the mail a copy of the change of beneficiary form that switched Yarbrough's beneficiary from his sister, Fetitia Oliphant, to Wesley Swank. One look at the form, and Daniel's aunt declared that the signature on that form was a forgery. So now, first of all, the timing, the paperwork is just getting back. It's still in the mail.
Yeah.
For the switching of the beneficiary. Then the beneficiary was his sister, and all of a sudden now it's Wesley Swank.
Right.
Now you're dead outside of a house that Wesley Swank told you to come to.
Yep.
So it's just not really looking good.
At all.
Yes. Swank was once again the primary suspect despite beating the polygraph test. Now it's like red flags back up again. But the investigators wanted to assure that the case was more airtight before making an arrest. Mm-hmm. So they felt like they had a lot, but yeah. They were like, we can get a little bit more. Now we got to make sure we got him dead to rights. So over the next 4 months, detectives were building a case against Wesley Swank. But this is when the investigation got another unexpected big break from a situation that initially seemed unrelated. In January 2015, a home burned down in a residential neighborhood. The home belonged to a family with a reputation of being awful, with everything from physical and sexual abuse to thievery and scamming on their resume of things that made them a super fucked up family. The head of this family tree was Richard J. Swank, a man who was serving a life term in prison plus 96 years for sexually abusing one of his sons for years.
Yeah. That should be in it.
Yes, absolutely.
Stealing ass.
He also happens to be Wesley Swank's father. Wesley is one of 16 children.
Mm.
God damn.
Yeah.
According to his sister, Melissa Anderson, the family grew up with nothing. They were on government assistance, and for some reason, her parents just kept having kids that not only could they not care for, but she says it didn't even seem like they wanted to care for them.
No.
You know, it was a negligent house. The father's sexually abusing the kids. Like, but as she went further on to, you know, explain, you almost get like a pay raise from when you're on government assistance.
Yep.
Every time you have a kid, you get a little bit more money. So it's like you have 16 kids, it's like, man, another 250 or whatever. I don't know the numbers, but I'm just saying. So you understand why you get to 16 kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And they might even hit them, which is crazy if this is true. The government might have been like, you maxed out.
Something.
We can't tell you to stop having kids, but we can't. 16 is where you don't get any more money after 16 kids. And then they keep losing the money every time. And these people are losers and they're stealing and they don't have anything efficient and they are living suckling from the teeth of the Uncle Sam.
They take out their anger and beat their kids.
And they do that. A cycle of violence.
Wow.
16 kids, man. If you did that in 2024, you might get a show on E! So basically, yeah. So Wesley Swank and his sister, Melissa Anderson, and along with the other 14 siblings, grew up in absolute squalor and chaos and violence. And it was a terrible living. But Melissa got away from her family as soon as she could. She joined the military and eventually settled down in Texas. Although she did keep in touch with numerous siblings, which is crazy. So keeping in touch with 15 people is nuts.
That's a lot of phone calls.
So many phone calls and birthdays. And
birthdays, yeah.
Oh, my God. Then they have kids. Years and all kinds of shit. Jesus Christ, man. No, thank you, man. Like, cheaper by the dozen plus four? Yeah. That's crazy, man. So yeah, so she eventually settled down in Texas, but kept in touch with her siblings. In fact, this is how she found out about the family house fire that I mentioned and how she even heard the name Daniel Yarbrough. You see, when she was on a phone call with one of her siblings at the day of the fire, you know, they're kind of doing popcorn, calling around. Did you hear about the fire? The family house burned down. They call her. One of her siblings calls her, and her siblings kind of thinking out loud on the phone. And the sibling goes, I wonder if the fire had anything to do with Yarbrough. And Melissa goes, who's that?
Yeah.
And the sibling goes, never mind. No, don't worry about it. And quickly just kind of moves on from it and changes the subject. However, Melissa was like, what the fuck does that mean? And does a Google search.
Yeah.
And got more information on who Daniel Yarbrough was and what had happened and how it happened outside of this house. And what she saw when she looked up the article on and the information was the house that Daniel Yarbrough was killed outside of belonged to their brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. So then she, you know, her mind starts swarming and, you know, kind of trying to put the dots together. And also, according to Melissa, Wesley Swank, although they all grew up in the same abusive house, Wesley was more like his parents.
Yep.
Like, he didn't really disagree with the stuff that they were doing. And they kind of liked, he was a Sith Lord, basically. Like, they were mad evil, and he was like, yo, that's tight. Hit him again.
Yeah.
And they were like,
he was the closest with the father.
Yeah, like, we like you. That's we like your energy. You want to hit him too? Like, he was on that type of shit.
Yeah.
I'll hit him. He was telling on him. So like I said, when Melissa saw that the murder happened outside of the home of Thomas Bradshaw, who was their brother-in-law, she felt compelled to call the detective on the case and tell them that she suspected that her brother Wesley was at least partially responsible for the murder of Daniel Yarbrough. The detective agreed. He's like, oh yeah, girl, we know. As a matter of fact, would you mind throwing on a little wire coming up from Texas and going to go pay a little visit to your brother?
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Imagine, like, every movie. I've never seen a movie that makes it not seem like the most terrifying proposition in the world to put on a wire and go to somebody's house and be like, hey, man, I remember a couple weeks ago you were talking about how you murdered somebody. Can you go into that in extreme detail for me right now? Like, I don't know how you subtly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you subtly go, broach a topic that somebody is a criminal activity and you just showed up, you haven't been home in a while?
Yeah, I would assume that
you have her on four sweaters.
Yeah, I would assume that her being in the armed forces, if she's done any type of, you know, elite training where it's like you learn to keep calm and not make things look obvious.
Cool under pressure.
I think that kind of played in her favor a little bit. But if just go, it's like, I haven't seen you in a while, so but I think that what happened gives her the pass of like showing up and being like, all right,
the family house burned down.
Right. Tell me what's happening.
Figure this out.
What's going on? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that they probably wasn't. If anything, Wesley Swank was like, well, even if she is wearing a wire, I doubt she is because that's my sister, but I'm going to just tell her what I would tell the authorities. It's just like, I had nothing to do with it. I think it had something to do with gang related and just stuck with that story.
Right. The idea that he and the wire didn't really amount to much of anything. They didn't get like a confession from the wire or anything like that. But the information that she came forward with connected some more dots, and that gave them enough probable cause to go and arrest him and bring him in for questioning. Yeah. But wearing a wire has got to be nerve wracking. Anybody out here listening to this, if you've ever worn a wire, please send in an email to affirmativemurder@gmail.com. We would love to hear that story. That would be great for Tales from the Hood, which again, affirmativemurder@gmail.com. Get those in especially if you have a wearing a wire story. Because that is juicy.
Or if you're just walking around wearing a wire, you might just wear a wire.
If you're just a snitch, like you work for the HOA or something, and you're trying to get people kicked out of the neighborhood, and you just catch them on, hey, so how tall is your fence? Because you know it's only supposed to be 7 feet, but it looks like it's about 9.5. And they go, yeah, well, it is 9.5. Gotcha. You're tearing it down, bringing it up at the next meeting. You need to take 2.5 feet off your fence by the end of the month, or you're out of the neighborhood.
Fuck HOA. How about that?
Yeah, you meant that.
I really did. That was deep down in my soul. I can't stand them. It's all a scam, like the emissions. It's all a fucking scam. Ain't gonna tell me how my house supposed to look. I paid for it. Fuck you.
It's my house.
It's my house. Don't tell me what my house.
I can't paint my door yellow. Who the hell are you?
Hey.
I bought this door.
All right. Gonna try to tell me I can't keep trash. I'll keep trash in front of my house if I want to.
So So anyway, with a sufficient pile of evidence gathered, Wesley Swank was arrested and taken into custody. During an extensive interrogation, he confessed to that his younger brother Logan was the trigger man. Immediately folded. This whole family folds on each other. It's crazy. He was in the interrogation room for a few hours. You know, I'll give him that. You know, pressure a little bit.
It wasn't a few hours. Like 11 hours. And that's the patience I don't have. I go like, man, I want to go home, man. Yeah. We know you did it. Just come on. Shit. I don't be here. Are you telling this bullshit lie? We know you're lying, man. You know you're lying. Your palms in here sweating. Your knee is shaking. Your foot. Let's go, man.
You got your whole body in your shirt. They always got their whole body in the shirt. You got your knees in your shirt, your arms in your shirt. They got that clock on extra loud. I love interrogation videos. They come in because it's the way that they.
But that one was kind of crazy though.
I didn't see it though.
You didn't see the clip?
I only saw a split second of it. But what looked crazy about it?
I get the tactic that the detectives try to use was like comforting and being understanding. You know where you're coming from and what they're going through at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mentally and physically. Where it's like, but this one was like the detective is sitting in the chair, one of these little rolly chairs, and get close to him and like, as in like front of his knees, and like his hand is on the other guy's thigh, like, and I understand, like.
It's getting a little intimate in here.
Yeah, it's like, this is way. I mean, like, he could be like aggressive a little bit.
You're not supposed to be straddling me. I'm not getting a haircut. Man,
grabbing his thigh. I said, no, this is crazy. Yeah. I said, no, I get it, but I mean, like, he was way too close for like just trying to get this dude just to come up with the truth.
Come on, tell me.
I understand, man. Hands on his thigh. I said,
whispering.
Yeah.
Lips touching his ear. Tell me.
I said, this is crazy.
Tell me about it. That's one way to get a confession, for sure.
For sure. Back the fuck up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, man. Hey, I'll tell you. Can you give me 5 feet?
Relax. Damn.
Is that Creed? You got Creed cologne? I can smell your cologne. You need to give me 5 feet. I will confess.
I will confess.
Yeah. Damn. Which he did. He confessed to his brother Logan Swank being the trigger man. Logan Swank was arrested in San Antonio, Texas, and Bradshaw, the brother-in-law, was charged with acting as the getaway driver in the murder.
Also, Logan, this guy who was a nutcase, and because they mentioned that they grew up, right? They grew up in not having money.
Terrible circumstances. So like,
right. So this money was like, if we do this clean, you know, we up, essentially. And Logan was like, He was the wild card, or he was the unhinged one. He was like, "Oh, I'll kill somebody in a heartbeat." Oh, I wouldn't even think about it. Like he was like, "Oh no, I'll kill him. If you don't want to, I understand. It's your friend. I'll do it. Yeah, I'm more than happy to do it." Logan's dream was to be a hitman. He wanted to be a hitman. I didn't know this at all. He wanted to be a hitman, and this was the perfect opportunity to live out this dream of like
his audition,
taking somebody out for a check. I don't know, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
Logan wanted to be a hitman. That's why he had no issue with doing this. He was like, oh, man, I get the opportunity to live out this.
Yeah.
And Swank winning. The first couple times, Swank stole a shotgun from the base.
It was a military registered weapon?
Yeah, from the first
shoot. That's really dumb. Yeah.
And then the second time, Swank took a gun from a friend and used it. It was like, oh, we're going hunting, and then ended up giving it back to the guy. But Before the robbery, Swank and Logan set Daniel up before the robbery.
What do you mean?
They set him up. So what happened was Wesley set up a fake email to meet Daniel to buy some workout supplements.
Okay.
Like, let's meet and whatever.
As a made up person.
And they went, waited him and Daniel. I mean,
him and Logan.
Wesley and Logan waited till Daniel showed up, and they shot at Daniel then the first time, but they missed. And that's when the burglary came, and that's when the drive-by shooting came.
Man, Daniel must have been living a paranoid life, man.
For sure.
Like, I didn't know that one.
Yeah, yep.
Because that came up later after they did the investigation
where they was like, oh yeah, we set him up the first time. That was before the burglary.
Yeah, we've been trying to do this for a while.
Yeah, man.
Damn, that's crazy. No. Yep. See, man, that's why I don't do I remember during COVID, you were trying to get me an Xbox. The hoops that we had to go through.
That's funny.
I was almost certain one of those times I was going to get murdered. You're like, yo, no, just drive. You were the go between with me and I don't know some dude. You know, yo, go meet him in this parking lot with a wad of cash. I don't buy stuff online anymore, bro. Showing up in a parking lot to get something and no receipts and no store.
Yeah.
I'm done. That was the closest.
I've done that so many times. I remember one time I did it. I bought a Nintendo and. So I didn't even tell Steph what the fuck I was doing. I went and bought it.
I didn't even tell anybody.
I went and met this guy in the parking lot. The crazy thing is, like, I didn't know the guy, but I've seen him. He lived around the way. I mean, that's
right.
No excuse.
You know his face.
Still. I know his face. I knew his car. So I've seen the dude before. And I went and met him in the parking lot and bought the game. And then I told Steph. She's like, why wouldn't you tell me? I said, I don't need it. Because I didn't think of that possibility at all. Not at all did that come across my mind. I was like, somebody can like rob me and come. I swear to you, that did not come across. I'm like, I'm about to buy Nintendo
Switch. It's a great deal.
Discount.
Play Smash Brothers tonight.
Yeah. I did not have that thought of my head. Where like, so this can go completely left.
And nobody knows that I'm
and
here.
And I didn't even tell anybody where the hell am I at and nothing like that. So yeah, that's crazy, man.
That's a wild one.
Yeah.
But in exchange for his testimony, Bradshaw pleaded no contest to a minor charge of permitting another to shoot from a vehicle, which is.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I guess in exchange for his testimony. I know that's not a made up crime, but that's a drive by shooting and you are complicit in an attempted murder. To change it to like, hey, man, almost like you remember in 8 Mile. When's the last time you seen 8 Mile? It's been a while.
No, I saw it like 2 months ago because I've never seen it.
Okay. Remember they were driving around shooting people with a paintball gun?
Yeah.
I guess in my mind, that's that. Like, there's no jeopardy of death on the line. If you're going about shooting signs or something, if you're going, you're shooting a gun from your car, but like not with the intention of killing somebody, like you're just, that's dangerous. And you're the driver who's allowing that to happen. I guess that makes sense. But if the whole agreement is, yeah, we're about to go kill somebody, and then you're driving the car after somebody murders somebody, that's a crazy, like, I don't know what other circumstances that charge a minor charge. Like,
well,
this
yeah,
is a murder.
But once you plead no contest, it's like you're saying like, oh, I didn't, aren't you saying I didn't, I,
no
I'm
contest
not,
is like, I'm not admitting guilt.
I'm not admitting
but you
guilt,
got me
but,
or something like
that. Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he did though. So it was like, which again, I don't see how that's a minor charge. Yeah, I was like, that's
yeah, I think, but that's, in my mind, I'm like, in exchange for his testimony, they're like, we're going to give you this charge, but then you're going to plead no contest to it, so it's going to be way less than if it was a manslaughter or second-degree murder,
right.
So you're going to get some jail time because you did do something bad, but you're going to plead no contest to this way lesser crime and end up getting 1,094 days in prison, of which he served half.
Yep.
So he's free.
That's cool. He's just as liable as everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you agreed. You were a part of the plan. Like, whenever they were having their meetings at Panera Bread or at Bible study or whatever, you were there.
Yeah.
When, like, so then, okay, so Bradshaw.
They were dirtbags, so it definitely wasn't at Panera Bread.
It wasn't at Panera Bread. Yeah, no, sorry. It's probably more like at a Quiznos or at a Little Caesar's Pizza.
Yeah.
Does Little Caesar's Pizza have, like, a sit-down area, or is it like a, you walk in,
counter? I don't think so, man. I think they may have like a little stool.
Yeah, get this and get the fuck out. You can eat it in the window. They have like 3 stools in the window. Like if you want to be a super dirtbag and eat a box of pizza on a ledge on a stool while everybody can see you in the window, that's all we have. We don't have tables here. Get the pizza and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
What's the dirtbag version of Panera Bread?
The dirtbag version of Panera Bread would be...
A CC's Pizza? Some kind of buffet, right? Like a Golden Corral or...
Well, Panera Bread is not a buffet, though.
No, but I'm trying to think of where would you have a meeting about a hit?
About
as
a hit?
As a dirtbag, 16 kids.
At like a probably hibachi fucking...
A hibachi restaurant?
A hibachi fucking...
you get the shrimp tossed. Getting the shrimp tossed in your mouth while you're talking about a hit?
No, I mean like an all-you-can-eat hibachi.
Oh, a hibachi buffet.
Yeah, hibachi buffet.
I'm going to go with Panda Express.
Panda Express is good, man. I'm sorry.
Listen, nobody says it's not good, but it's definitely not a, a nice lunch where people go to do their college homework or anything like that. It's not people posted up in Panda
Taco
Express
Bell.
With
they go
laptops.
To Taco Bell. No, they go to Taco Bell and do their meetings.
Fair. I'll take Taco Bell. Taco Bell is the dirtbag Panera Bread. I'll go with that. Yeah, because you can get a salad from Taco Bell. Yeah. Okay, I'll go with that. Yeah, Taco Bell is the dirtbag Panera Bread.
Yeah. Get your cool, yeah, you gotta be quicker than that.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. We're moving on. Yeah. Taco Bell. So, in separate trials in 2015 and 2016, respectively, Logan Swank and Wesley Swank, who was regarded as the mastermind of the crime, obviously, because he knew him and it was his whole plan. He was the person, the beneficiary of the insurance.
Real quick, also, if a murder happens and you leave the state.
Yeah. You look a little
you
bad.
You look super guilty, man.
You look a little bad.
You just leave.
Yeah, you look.
All of a sudden, you just leave. Come on, man. You can't just.
You look pretty bad. Man. You look pretty bad, man.
Why did you move to Texas?
I just wanted to change the scenery.
I kept that murdered somebody.
Yeah. Oh, I'm an outlaw.
So did you know? Did you see how they caught him though? How they caught Logan though?
No.
Did you see that? Mm-mm. So they had Wesley in the interrogation room, and he was like, "Hey, man, look. We know Logan is out of the state." They made him shoot a video of Wesley going, "Hey man, I'm here. I wish I had the clip. I should have fucking." He said, "I'm here, and they got me, and I told him everything that happened. Just turn yourself in. I love you. You're my brother, but
turn but I dropped dime.
Yeah, I snitch. Turn yourself in." And he shot a video, which looks humiliating.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
That's crazy. I couldn't hold water at all, bro.
Sitting in the chair and just like look at the camera and just like a cop is just holding his phone up to your face and you just
that's crazy. Hey man,
turn yourself in. They caught me.
He's still hiding in another state. Hey bro, they got us. No, they got you.
And then you send that text.
No, that's crazy.
And then you're out there like, what the fuck is going on? What is this? Oh, like, this has to be a prank. This has to be a bit.
No, like, if I get caught, we got caught.
No, we got caught. What are you talking about? We all going down.
If I got caught, we got caught, man. Hey, come out from the dumpster. You come out from behind that car right there. You take that wig off, bro. They got us all. They got us, man. Damn. So that's what his brother did. I didn't know he sent the video. Like, oh, hey, man.
I should have clipped that. Damn.
they turned us in, bro. Oh, they had the video on the thing you saw? Like the actual video?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Them holding the camera in his face, all up in his face.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's crazy.
No, we can put it up. We can put it up when that.
Yeah, put it up on the Facebook or something. I need that. Send that to me. But yeah, man. Both the men responsible for the murder of Daniel Yarbrough were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and the getaway driver was sentenced to 1,094 days, which he served half of and is free. So that was justice in a sense. Daniel's family described him as a guy that would help anybody. He was a very nice guy, soft spoken but fun. And it's really crazy, bro, what money will make people do. I mean,
yeah, man,
you know, and the way that they described them, Wesley Swank and Daniel Yarbrough being like, they were friends.
Brothers. Yeah.
You know, like, and as soon as he got a whiff of Daniel being like, yeah, I think I'm gonna take a life insurance policy out to be safe. His wheels immediately started turning into how can I get away with murdering my friend?
Crazy.
And then to bring Bible study into it is nasty.
It's nasty work, man. Yeah, so also Daniel's life insurance is tied up in legal proceedings.
Wow.
And has yet to be paid out to, you know.
So the insurance company gets over once again. For now, for the time being.
Yeah, for now, yeah.
Yeah.
But they got that, but it's one of those things where like they can wait. They can wait as oh, whatever the
yeah, yeah, yeah. They we'll they pay can this out to your great grand cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Litigation, man. But yeah, that was the story of Daniel Yarbrough. Absolutely wild fucking man. Schemy, heisty murder from a sick guy.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, 250.
Keep it a I'm buck. Not, I mean, I'm that's not, not even a lot of money.
I'm not, yeah. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm like,
there's no
that's
there's
not
no
worth
price.
It. But it's like,
yeah, there's no price.
There is no price of, but like.
But it ain't $250,000.
It ain't $250,000.
There is no price. Let's but it clear. Ain't $250,000.
Let's be clear.
You know, let's be clear. Let's be clear. There's no price to take a life.
No
but,
price.
It but it ain't $250,000.
It ain't $250,000.
It ain't $250,000. Absolutely tragic, man. But yeah, you know, that was our affirmative murder of Daniel Yarbrough.
Yeah, man.
Fran, the yeah. floor. Before we
the
get
floor.
Out of here,
let's get out of here.
You know, before we get out of here, I know you know, you now said you went on a full binge with the family.
Full binge.
Rob Lowe also. People really
Rob
came
Lowe.
At me about that. I couldn't find his last name last week.
You know,
I
knew it, but I didn't want to humiliate myself.
So right.
I let it go. I was like, let me
yeah, right.
Yeah, man, it was one of those, it's one of those shows where like everybody has their, you know, different personalities or whatever, but it's some people in there I was like, get this motherfucker.
Can't stand you.
Cause I you get on my nerves.
Yeah.
They got all like, yes, go home. You don't get a chance. But then with some people I go like, that's my guy. He looks like an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I fuck with him.
Yes.
I fuck with her.
Mm-hmm.
Great show, man. I love the show.
I need to be on the show. I need to find a way to get on the show.
For sure, man.
I need to be a contestant on the floor.
I would love to do that.
I will use anybody listening to the, any connection that I have in the world possibly, if you are a talent scout, if you are an executive producer please, I am a charismatic guy. I would be a great contestant on the floor. Please. I need to be on the floor, bro.
Yeah.
You telling me I think I would do good on the floor, bro. I think I could at least win a night.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's all I want.
For sure.
I think I can get a lead early. With like four squares, win a night, and I'm happy. Come home with 20 grand, I'm cool with that. I don't need to win the whole thing.
Yeah. The only problems I would have on that show would be, obviously, actors and movies. That's not my strong suit.
Sure.
And vacation, tourist spots, I wouldn't.
Oh, it gets bad, though, man. One of them was birds.
Yeah.
I know like six birds. And then after that, they started getting crazy.
Yeah. Like drunk drill shit was easy. Cars was easy.
Yeah. Bathroom items.
Yeah, bathroom items was easy. It was called one of them was it's crazy to see how somebody like, oh, this is my expertise.
Yeah,
but then get dealt with by somebody else.
Get destroyed.
And get destroyed was like,
you picked
said
this.
That you,
yeah, you picked this.
You said you was the medical whatever it is, but you got destroyed.
Yeah, murdered.
Some of the shit I was like, they said I was like, I had no idea what that was.
Yeah, one of the guys was like famous hair. I know all the hairs. He didn't know any of them. He got destroyed.
Yeah. One guy did sports equipment and like one of them came up, I was like, I wouldn't have got that. One of them was like a birdie. It's called like a birdie.
Yeah.
It's the ball with the net. I thought that was called like
the racquetball or whatever.
Badminton. I thought it was something else.
The badminton ball.
Yeah, it was called like a birdie though. They didn't say that. I said, no, I wouldn't have got that. I'd have been gone.
I am addicted to I love it.
I love the show for sure.
It's such a good show, man. But again, before we get out of here though, watch The Floor. They're not a sponsor. They're not paying us. It just, we really have a passion for The Floor. The Freaknik documentary is finally coming out this month. I think it's like March 22nd or 23rd or something like that. Fran, I think we should do a companion. If it's a multi-episode thing or if it's one, we should either we watch it and talk about it on Patreon, or we do an episode to episode thing. I don't know. But like, if you go through our, podcast feed, we have a 2-part, podcast on the history of Freaknik. It was absolutely a fun diving into that, talking about it. It was really interesting. And then it took a twist that got kind of dark. And there's a documentary coming out about it this month, which is March. I think like late March, March 20th, something like that. So I'm really excited for that to come out. Freaknik, the documentary, is coming out on Hulu. And I think we got to do something.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for that. Also, in May, there's a documentary about Black Twitter coming out. Super excited about this as well. I cannot wait. I think this is May 6th or something like that. I'm so excited for a Black Twitter documentary. It is some of the best moments in pop culture have been stemmed from a night on Black Twitter. The whole Popeye's chicken sandwich moment, debacle, whatever that was, Popeye's got $1 billion in free marketing from Black Twitter. It needs to be studied, and I'm glad it's being studied. So many moments from Black Twitter that I can't wait to see documented on a documentary series. I'm super excited about those. Those are two documentaries that are coming out that I'm super excited about. Again, speaking of May 4th, 2024, Fran, me, Madison McGee, we will be in Portland, Oregon at The Growler Guys. Super excited to go and check that place out, Portland, I mean, and have a good show for you guys. We're really excited about that. Hope you guys can attend. The links are available now. Tickets are available now. They are selling very well. Super excited. Hope to have you guys there for a night of fun. Thank you to anybody who's bought a ticket the first day. We are still in the early bird stages, so get a ticket for a lower price before the prices go up. Yeah, man. Anything else? You got anything else?
Nah, man. Just excited for the show. Got that coming up. We got CrimeCon coming up.
CrimeCon coming up, yes.
It's a nice little stretch of some cool things we got going on.
Yeah, it's
going
to be some fun times coming up in the spring. A lot of announcements, a lot of fun things. Super excited to for this year. So let's keep it going. May 4th and also CrimeCon. We'll have more details on that soon. But yes, May is going to be a fun month. Anyway, I've been Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans. And we'll see you guys next week.
Deuces.